Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in. I want to thank everybody that is listening to the program right now. I pray that you are doing well. I pray that things are happening for you. And I pray, most of all, that you're getting everything you want from God. Amen? Amen. Well, you're listening to Midwatch. You're listening to Reverend David Yanez. David Yanez, however you want to say it, you're listening to it here on Rev Media Network. God bless you. This station has been a blessing to many people. We've had several people tuning in and hearing the programs, hearing not only my programs, but the other three programs, other three hosts that are hosting shows on the network. We do a lot of things every day. And one thing that I know for sure is that each of us put a lot of effort to getting you a good show every day. I want to thank everybody that's called in and everybody that's sent us an email and everyone that's constantly involved. Remember, we have our Chatango account. It is up and running. It is basically anytime that I'm on the air, you can chat with me. Anytime that you want to speak with me while I'm on this show, you can. And sometimes you'll find me in the chat room. I'm even when the show's done. So if you want to send something, you can send me a message. It will not let it get lost. Whenever I do check this, and sometimes when I'm working online on different things, I open up the chat account and I chat with people. Let them know where I'm at, what I'm doing. I do the Twitter and I do Facebook as well. So if you want to follow me, my Facebook and Twitter name's David Yanez. And you can find and follow me. Today we're going to have a special guest again, Mr. Mike Salazar. Going to be in the shop with us here on the show. Going to talk about leadership. He's going to bring to the table finishing strong. So we're going to talk a little bit about that before he comes on. But just giving you an update on what's going on in our life and everything that's happening. I put together some websites. And I would like to get your opinion on some of those stuff. So if you can go to Rev Ministries, you can see the websites that we're putting together. You can go to Rev Media Network. I just put a new one that I have not put the link on the site. That's really horrible. Really horrible of me. But I will. I will get that tonight. And it's called My Military Recruit Book. It's for anyone that's going into the military. Anyone that's going to be out there doing things for God. Anyone going out to leaving home for the first time. Parents, you may be worried about your kids. You may be worried about your grandkids, grandparents. But I'm going to tell you this. God took care of me when I was in the military. God took care of me when I was preaching the gospel and out there all alone on a ship with strangers. He took care of me through boot camp, and that's basically what the book covers. I think the first three or four chapters, five chapters, maybe boot camp, but it talks about Navy life, reporting to the ship, and standing for God. You'll see a lot of illustrations. I just left a store where a lot of my friends work at, and I was going through there and seeing how they were doing and just talking to them and visiting with them. And the funny thing is that they brought up my books. And then they said, you know what, David? This one gentleman told me, you know, David, every time I try to put that book down, I couldn't. I go, which one? Both. Both of them. And he goes, yes, both of them. He goes, every time I try and put it down, I couldn't. I read it. He goes, I don't normally read. He goes, didn't do great at school. He's a young guy. And I can't really go through a book. And I was talking to him and saying, okay, well, did you enjoy it? He goes, you know how to tell a story. You know how to keep me. I couldn't wait to go to the next chapter and the next. And he's not the only one to say that. Amen? He is not the only one to mention that the books have kept them interested and wanting to read. So I just want to encourage you. He even told me that his sister took one of the books that he was reading, the second book, Almost Out of Grace. The first one was My Military Life and the Power of God. And she took the second book when he was halfway through it and has not returned because she loves a book that much. So that's a blessing. That is a blessing to hear. I was sitting at the one of the break rooms talking to a few people that I hadn't seen for quite some time, and they basically told me, "Hey, I heard some good reports about your book." A person just came in and told me that. I'm like, "Really? Yes." They go, "How's your books going? How's the book sales going?" I go, "They're doing good. They're stable. They're strong." And she's like, "Wow," because I heard that some people said that they didn't know if it was going to be a good book. They got to the middle of this book and they could not put it down. That it was a good book. Now let me tell you, Almost Out of Grace is probably my best book. My Military Life and the Power of God, it's a good book. It's a good book. It's good stories, good things, and it's practicality. It's things that are happening in a recruit's life. It's when you're standing. It's for people that are trying to stand for God, and they can't get it going, and they keep falling and stuff. This book's going to help them, My Military Life and the Power of God. It has that kind of draw to it. It has that kind of appeal. It tells you, hey, you may mess up, but you know what? You stand up. You get up, no matter what. You stand up. You stand up because you know why? God loves you. And that's basically the whole theme. If there was a theme for that book, it'll be no matter what, God loves you and God's there for you. Well, we just put a website together for it, and it's going to be a great website because I think that I'm going to put some things in there for counseling, things for churches, for people that are trying to find a church locator, events, current events happening. So we're going to be a very maintaining type of site, and I'm willing to take that challenge, my friends. I'm willing to make myself be accountable and put this material together because I want to see our troops helped. I want to see kids that go out to school have a resource to get blessed. You know, there's a lot of things you can do when you're away from home. There's a lot of things that can happen when you're away from home. But I tell you this, my friends. I tell you this. No matter what, God is with you, and God will always, always, always forgive you and help you. Amen. Well, my friends, Almost Out of Grace is a great book on this part, and I think that a lot of us don't like talking about certain issues about your life and stuff. And I have one of these books right here in front of me. And I've read this many times, but what I haven't done is read you the titles, and I'm going to read you those right now just because I feel that some people need to understand what this book is all about and what it has. Desire, we've covered that many times on the show. Real Romance, wanting to have a real romantic type of life. Trophy, about having someone in your life that you don't know, that you really want to hold up and say, this is the person that God gave for me, and the disappointments to get that. Christian Stalker, we covered that last week on our relationship show. Fairy Tales is trying to believe a love and romance and marriage is supposed to be something other than what it really is and think that there's a fairy tale out there. The second section is hurting. That was emotional behaviors. The second part is hurting in relationships, the hurt in relationships. Whom do we hurt? Imagine all the people that you've dated and all the people that you thought you're going to marry. And all the emotions that are left back and forth with sin and everything else, we cover that. Giving your heart away. Who have you given everything in your heart to? Mind tricks is when you're in a great relationship and things just don't seem to click. Things are just messing up. Time to go is when you know it's time to go. When you know, we cover that on the show. That when you know that after everything that you've done, you can't do no more. It's hurting you, hurting your kids. It's time to go. Waking up. Waking up is basically you just one day realize where you're really at in this relationship. Ugly Duckling, one of my favorites. It's a great one, talking about having to always compete to your family and friends for attention. You always feeling that you had an ugly duckling syndrome. And we cover that. When it's over, destiny or destruction. When God says, that's it, my friend, that's it. You hold on. You hold on so much that it hurts. It hurts you. It hurts the kingdom because you're supposed to be doing things and you're in sexual sin. You're not listening to God. You're in disobedience. You're rebellious. And Bible says disobedience and rebellion is as witchcraft. Untouchable. Untouchable is basically thinking you can do anything and not be held accountable to God. Anything and not be held accountable to God in sin. And the other part is the commitment of partners. Okay, first one is commitment. Why our best friends should be our wives. The great compromise is being able to deal with the change and deal with other people. Keeping what you have. Basically, you can't trade in what you already have. It's kind of funny, that one. Chasing the challenge is a challenge. It's a difficulty. It's a difficulty sometimes when we're married. Our returnable society, the mentality, again, talking about trying to get take back what you have and not wanting what you have because we're so used to having great things in our lives and having whatever we want when we want it. We're made to order, Christians. Past loves. Why do they haunt us? Past loves. The nature of relationships. And this is that's basically the closing. The nature of relationships. And it's a good closing. So I'm going to post these. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go in and post the table of contents online, as well as the introductory. The introduction. All right. Well, that's just the quick ideas about my book. I got really supercharged over there at the store when I was coming out of the store, trying to get to the station, and everybody keeps stopping me and stuff. Well, I shouldn't be sitting down talking half the time too, but you know how it is when you visit old friends and everything. It's just good to get with people and to talk. So let me keep trying to get this going and keep trying to get this stuff. All right, let me play a quick commercial and let me know what's going on.
Hi, this is David Yanis, host of Midwatcher at the Rev and General Station Manager for Rev Media Network. Just want to tell you about GodChristianTalent.com. Again, that is GodChristianTalent.com. It is a website that has a database full of actors, actresses, models, singers, people that have unusual talent or just any normal talent from any normal Christian person that wants to be used by God. GodChristianTalent.com. They could be just help workers. It could be anything that you need. If you can just go ahead and log on at GodChristianTalent.com and view what we have on there. God bless you. Thank you. Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you are listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you, my friends. If you've heard that call sign over the last 5 years, you have heard that through our podcast stations, through stations that we used to be on the air, through radio, regular radio, through terrestrial stations, and now we are on RevMediaNetwork.com. Our address has changed, so when they broadcast our broadcasting, sometimes you hear our old address, which is the 2981 address. Our address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, our address has changed to P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. If you hear this broadcast throughout the day, we're trying to let y'all know that our address has changed. We've had calls and stuff about the new address, so we're trying to get that information to you and to let you know that you are listening to the most influential ministers, and Christian talk show host on here with the original program on RevMediaNetwork.com. Thank you again. God bless you.
Amen. Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and we're just working on some of the audio stuff during the break. A lot of times I will put a commercial on just real quick to test out the audio and to make sure we're getting a good signal. So I hope the signal is better now. And if it is, then that's blessed. If it's not, I'm on the chat tangle, so you can just go ahead and take care of that for us. Anyway, let me know what's going on out there. I'm hoping that we're not getting too much of an echo that we were having before. And I took off another microphone just to make sure that doesn't happen. So anyway, God bless you. I want to talk quick thing before we get into leadership. It goes alongside with leadership. And it's an article that I was reading. And I'll cover it real quick. Our caller's calling it in at 2:20 on the second segment. He'll be calling in. It's going to be Mike Salazar from Freedom International Church. And I'm hoping we can get the good audio on this and able to get this thing going. And we'll see what happens. But hopefully this thing's getting out there where you can listen to it and it can be a blessing. Amen. Let's see. Here is our report. 7 mistakes bosses make when given criticism. Now, as a leader, you're going to be a boss. And as a boss, you're going to have to be able to be, I would say, fair, but you have to be able to lead and manage and everything. So here are the 7 mistakes bosses make when given criticism. Let me get this over here. It is not, some managers don't give critical feedback at all. They're either low performers or they handle situations badly. So, okay, not doing it. Not giving criticism is probably one of the worst mistakes most bosses do, is they don't give criticism when they're supposed to be criticizing. Doing it too late. Some managers kind of ignore it until the phone starts ringing and they wonder what's going on. And they're not staying up to things to get things to be a little more firmer with their employees. Not being clear enough either about the problem or its severity. Some managers get so caught up trying to be tactful with their message that they dilute or lose what the reasons were. These are 7 mistakes bosses make when given criticism. This is in U.S. News Today and U.S. News dated on July on the date. Another thing is not explaining consequences. There has to be a consequence to the action. If you don't, you have problems. The other thing is being a jerk. And the other thing is never having consequences. Not explaining consequences and not ever having consequences lets people run all over you. Being a jerk is not going to get the response you're going to need. Not putting the criticism in context. If 90% of someone's work is great, manager addressing the problems with other 1% shouldn't make it sound as though overall great performance has gone unnoticed. So put it into context. Criticize what needs to be criticized and not the great part, but the bad part. So those are the 7 reasons, and my call should be coming in right now. So let me get the studio ready. If I need y'all to keep sounding the sound for us while we put this together, because this is the first time we're using this new system on phone calls. So we will see. We will see what goes on. I'll plug this up when they call in. But the 7 reasons are not putting the criticism in context, being a jerk, never having consequences, not explaining consequences, not being clear either about the problem or its severity, doing it too late, criticizing too late, not doing it at all. Those are the 7 reasons why bosses make mistakes when given criticizing. Amen. I am going to fix this up. We're going to have a great show with Mike Salazar. She'll be calling in a minute. And we'll see what goes on. We'll see what goes on. Get these audio settings. Amen. Go ahead and plug this up. Because we expect them to. Amen. There. Well, praise God. We're waiting for the call. We're going to get that in a minute. I'm just checking some of the audio. Just sending a text out. You're on the air. This is the Rev.
Hi, Dave. How you doing? This is Mike Salazar.
Amen, brother. Do we sound staticky on your side?
It sounds a little fuzzy.
Okay. Can you still hear us okay, though?
I can't hear you, David.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you let me? I'm just adjusting some of the audio because we're using a new system on this. How about now? Can you hear me fine? We hear you perfectly, actually.
Okay, great.
Okay, well, we're talking about relationships, and we are talking with Pastor Mike Salazar from Freedom International Church, and what we're trying to do is get a good idea on what a leader should be and how he should be able to finish strong. Amen, Pastor?
Yes, David, I tell you, it's an honor to be back on the show with you again this week, David. We're anticipating great things to be happening and definitely encouraging the audience to listen in and call some friends and encourage them just to get in and support what Rev Media Network is doing. It's a great work. But, you know, David, one of the things we've been talking about leadership-wise is we've been talking about submission, we've been talking about alignment over the last 2 weeks. But this week, you know, I really felt like this week is something that, you know, is a much needed topic today. As a matter of fact, this is a theme that I've developed over this year, just through a time of prayer back in December, about just praying for God to speak to me about the leaders of our generation, about what are some of the key things that that would make the great leader. And one of the things that came out of it, just a season of prayer, is just learning to finish strong, learning to persevere, learning to endure, to keep moving forward. And, you know, as I began to look into this and begin to really pray about it, you know, there was some stats that kept coming out. I think I shared this last week, that they say that 1,700 pastors and leaders leave the ministry every month. And that's not even every year. That's, every month this is happening in the ministry, in the body of Christ. And there are a number of reasons why they are leaving, and we can get into that a little bit later. But I'll tell you, one of the things that the Lord kept really putting on my heart was in chapter 3 and verse 14, even for today, you know, the Bible speaks of there about forgetting what is behind and pressing in to the higher calling that is in Christ Jesus. And I tell you, when I read that scripture, I think about three things, David. I think about there are going to be some obstacles, there are going to be some hurdles, there's going to be some trials that we're going to have to walk through in life, and some of it's going to require us to press in and not just give up and just quit. I think it's one thing for a leader or a pastor to go through some things, even take a hit and get knocked down, but how many, you know, I think that one of the things we've got to begin to look at is if we're down, we've got to get back up. And we just can't stay down. We can't allow the devil to keep us down. We can't allow those circumstances to keep us down. We've got to pick our head up and know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. As the righteous run to him, they're safe. And I believe that as we look at those passages of learning to persevere, learning to endure, learning to motivate ourselves, you know, learning to go to the Word of God and find what does it take for us to continue to fight the good fight of faith. You know, again, because I say there will be some fights that you will get a black eye in.
Absolutely.
You know, that you will get knocked down in. There will be some things that you will go through in life that will, tend to keep you down or try and knock you out of the race. I always say, you know, let's not be just spectators. Let's be participators in what God is wanting to do. So I think these are some very key things as we begin to walk through some of this session today. I know that the Lord has some great things in place. But so I'm excited to be on with you today, David.
Amen, Pastor.
Can you hear
me clearly? You're coming in fine. Are we still staticky on your side? Can you hear us fine?
Yeah, I can hear you. It's a little muffled, but I can hear you.
Okay, it's just we had to revert some wires around and stuff. So it's just for today's show. Next show we'll get it better. Or you can come in and we can do another one as well. But I want to ask you this, Pastor. Do you see leaders today just getting tired?
Yeah, you know, I see that often. I see that where leaders are burned out, where they are leading on empty. I think that there are some things that we can do to avert that. I think there are some things that God wants us to do. You know, one of the things that when I think about that, when I think about leaders that are tired, is that they are they're tired because they've planned their schedules out wrong. There's been a number of things that we've done wrong, and one of the things that I'd like to talk about is that we know that our strength, it comes from the Lord, and that's going to come through just a simple daily time in prayer with God. And I think that when I see leaders that don't have that devotion, then they just find themselves going through the motions in life. So I think there's some key things to look at that, just being able to, spend those times in prayer, being able to spend those times seeking the Lord in His Word. But I think there's something else that we all have to do is originally understand that we are all human and that we all, you know, our bodies must rest. We can't continue to burn the candle on both ends, per se. You know, we've got to come to a place where we've, where we learn to take a day off, where we learn to spend time with the family, where we learn to, you know, shut everything off, the phones, the internet, from time to time, have one of your elders or deacons preach for you on Sundays. You know, there, time to time, you've got to get away with your family so that you can not only physically rest, but also mentally rest, you know, because I think there's so many things that are on our minds today in the church, but, you know, I think these are key critical things that as we begin to advance into, that we learn to find that time of rest.
Amen. Now, Pastor, at what point do you think that leaders need to ask for help? I mean, I think that they tend to try to do so much because they don't want to fail. I mean, I don't think any of us want to fail. And I think that a lot of times they don't ask for help, and when they do, it's sometimes too late.
You know, David, that's a good point to begin to discuss it here today. You know, I think that the time to ask for help is when things start falling apart in your home, in your house, with your family. Because it's just like the Apostle Paul told me, he said, you know, your first ministry is unto your family before it ever is unto the church. And I think this is something for us to use as a thermometer, you know, to begin to gauge things in our lives, is that, you know, how are things going at home? You know, how are things going with your spouse? You know, how is your relationship, you know, with your children? And I think these are some simple but yet practical things that we could use to gauge some of those things, because if you're not, you know, as you know, one of the things that, as I shared earlier, just like your cell phone needs to be charged, or just like your, you know, your laptop needs to be charged daily, you know, so do you in Christ. You know, we've got to recognize the signs. Are we leading on empty? You know, are we in a position, a posture right now where things may not be going the way they should be? So I think that we should always look at our private ministry before we look at our public ministry, because I believe that if we have a strong family, we're going to have a strong church. So a lot of this is really in detail with the pastor and the leader to begin to gauge those things and say, well, this is what I need to be doing. This is what I don't need to be doing. And I think it's just the law of priorities. We learn to prioritize those things that are important and those things that are not important. So I think that's a really good, solid point for us to look at today.
Okay. And Pastor, now when you're out there, and I mean, you're doing your leadership and stuff, can you tell, just as a leader's, I guess, leader's point of view, can you tell when your leaders that you have in your church are beginning to get frustrated? What are some things that you can give some of our leaders out there that has leaders underneath them? What can they do to stop getting their crew, if you want to call them a crew, their group, from getting so frustrated with things?
Sure, there's some things they can do to not be confused or frustrated. You know, I think communication is key. Is that you learn to communicate those areas that are important to you, that you learn to use a little bit more discretion in the times and the things you're walking through. So there are some simple but yet practical things. You know, as I've shared already, that prayer is a very key element to begin to move into, but not only prayer, but also beginning to find rest, you know, in our physical bodies, but also for those leaders that are serving, you know, other leaders in their ministries or their churches. You know, I think that, you know, like I said a few weeks ago, that, you know, as a leader, you know, we come to a place where we must take on the posture of Aaron and Hur, you know, where the scripture speaks of they held Moses' hand up while Moses was praying and Joshua was in the battle. So I think these are very key things that those that are serving must continue to serve faithfully. You know, I can always tell when the leaders that are in our church start losing their edge. You know, I think that, you know, some of the things that I've seen, that when they start losing their edge, they misprioritize the things they know they're supposed to be doing. They stop praying. You know, God becomes second and third. And really, we know that in the book of Revelation, he calls us to put him as our first love. You know, there's some simple practical things that when I see leaders that just start really going through it. They become negative. They complain. They murmur. You know, they continue to not do it with a cheerful heart. So therefore, you know, I think it's key that we learn to take on these disciplines. We take on these elements of leadership and just learn to walk through them with consistency. You know, as I shared with you earlier, you know, David, there are some things that, I mean, I tell our leaders this often so that they know this. You know, there's going to be some things we're going to walk through in life that are going to make you want to quit. There are going to be some things that you may not like. And as I always have a rule of thumb of some, I'm always saying, there is no perfect pastor. There is no perfect church on the earth today. It isn't until we get to heaven that we will see the perfect body of Christ. So I think this is you know, something that we should all get back to understanding that, hey, you know, let us continue to serve. Our labor is not in vain. You know, let's continue to love and continue to give like we've never given before. So I think these are key things we can be doing right now, David.
Amen. Now, when we're talking about endurance and when we're talking about finishing strong, what is the highlights of that? What do you think it's, if you were to say we need you to have endurance, what would you say is the most important thing in endurance?
Well, it's just like there's two things that when I think about that, and you know, when I looked at the Olympics this past a few months back, and you know, and especially even when you see the Tour de France that was just, you know, not too long ago, a few weeks ago, you saw all these sideline people throwing bottles of water. And you know, the key thing is to stay hydrated, you know, and to begin to discern the signs when you are dehydrated. You know, I think these are some very key elements that we should all look at, you know, because as I said earlier, we must learn to keep the hydration going. It's just like I have a nephew, he plays football, and, you know, every night before he goes to bed, he drinks like 20 ounces of water before he has to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning for football practice. And the reason why he does that is so that he can stay hydrated, so that when he's out there in the sun, in the grunt of doing things, he doesn't pass out, he doesn't faint. And that's where I see leaders today, that they don't hydrate correctly. And there are some things, as I share with you, about praying, about you know, just simply taking time off and learning to rehydrate. But you know, I want to share this other point along those same lines of staying hydrated. You know, pastors and leaders, they need from time to time to go sit down under somebody's ministry or leadership and get fed also. Because pastors are so used to always pushing out, leaders are always so used to giving out that they never ever really take in. And I think that sometimes that beyond your time with the Lord, it doesn't hurt, you know, maybe once or twice a year, go to a conference, you know, go to some webinar online, or to be able to, you know, to get fed, because you yourself, as a leader, as a pastor, need to be refreshed. You need to have that time of renewal for your own self. And I do. I encourage that, to do that up to two, maybe even three times a year. You know, there's so many different things that we can do to, per se, to keep the sword sharp, you know. And I think that, you know, as I tell our leaders, you know, hey, always have a fresh word in you. Always keep your sword sharp. And there's so many different ways to do that. And I believe it's just like with any type of good harvester. He's out there with a sickle, and if he's swinging the sickle and the sickle is dull, he's going to be working twice as hard to try and cut down the harvest. And the thing is that if you're working twice as hard, you'll burn out twice as fast, and you'll lose that endurance and perseverance. You know, David, one of the things that the Lord really began to reveal to me years ago, you know, God did not just call you into the ministry to do the work of ministry, but he called you to begin to develop a legacy, to be able to develop certain elements about you that will endure for the long run beyond your generation. You know, I believe that the God we serve is a generational God. We see this with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, I think, but one of the great lessons we could learn is in the times of when it was Moses, Joshua, and then the elders. But yet, it's interesting because in the book of Judges, it says there was a generation that Moses led out of Egypt. There was a generation that Joshua led into the promised land. And then after Joshua passed on, the elders led on. But it said, but then arose a generation that did not know God. and we see that, you know, something wasn't passed on, something did not continue on, something stopped. And I think that some of that, it does lie within the leadership. Today, even as a pastor, you know, I touched on this just a little bit last week, but I always say, hey, you've got something to offer someone. And you know, you might be a listener today and say, you know, I don't have a whole lot to offer. I don't have a whole lot to give. You know, I believe that God, you know, the scripture teaches that if, even if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, mountains can move before you. And I think that today, that as we continue to push out, as we continue to develop some proteges, some spiritual sons, some spiritual daughters, there are people that are waiting for the wisdom that is in you. They're waiting for the anointing to be passed on. So I think, you know, the Bible even speaks of that, you know, when you refresh, in the book of Proverbs, when you refresh someone, you yourself shall be refreshed. So I think this is really key to keeping things fresh, keeping things from, you know, to continue to hydrate, you know, to continue so that you can keep running this race. I mean, because it is a race. And the one thing I tell, you know, our leaders is this, say, look, you know, we're running, you know, we're not running a marathon right now. We're not running a sprint. We're running a marathon right now. So I think this is very key that we understand that we are not, you know, supposed to be going 100 miles an hour. As a leader, you've got to learn to pace yourself. You can't be involved in everything. You can't be doing this and that and this and that. Learn to pace yourself. This is what good leaders are known for. They know how to pace themselves. They know how to begin to stretch things out, you know, and at the same time, they're not lazy. You know, as Dr. Evan Lewis Cole says, you know, if you fail to plan, then plan to fail. So I think that when we look at our schedules and we look at our calendars, we look at our years, pace yourself in what you're trying to do. Because sometimes, you know, many of us, we want the whole world in one shot, you know. So I just encourage you, because I've seen leaders, I mean, they, you know, they work 12, 14-hour days, you know, in the ministry. You know, they don't know, you know, one of the things that I've learned, especially in life, especially when you're doing the ministry, is to understand that I think it's important as a pastor, as a leader, that you have a start time and a finish time in your day. You know, I believe God gives us certain levels, certain bursts of energy throughout our day. You know, like myself, I know I have several strong bursts of energy to give to certain projects, but I don't want to be the kind of leader that goes home and I don't have anything to give to my family. You know, I think that today, you know, we've got to save some of those bursts of energy for our families when we get home, you know, to be able to spend time with our kids, to be able to sit down and talk to our wives about what's going on in the family or what's going on in their day. So I think these are some key things for us to begin to really look at when it comes to persevering and enduring, is beginning to learn to pace ourselves and learn that, hey, God wants us to keep passing things from one generation to the next generation. So I think these are all good points, David.
Well, I think that a lot of times, too, we may pick up some bad habits from just our regular work environment. I mean, we may think leading is just like managing a store or managing a department.
Right.
When we go in with our natural energy to do a store or to do whatever work and wherever you work, you may work your Golden Corral, whatever, you may be a supervisor, and you may be thinking in the natural how you take care of things and you work yourself and your physical body gets going and stuff. But in ministry, it's combined. You're doing physical and your mental and spiritual, so it's different. You got to rest your spirit as well. You can't just get up, work, and go. You got to be prepared to lead your people. And I think a lot of times, a lot of ministers and a lot of pastors don't spend the ample time in the Word, like you mentioned. They don't spend the time that they need as the church grows or as departments open up in the ministry for different things to get done. They're too busy trying to finish the task and not able to keep their, I guess, their longevity going in the spirit.
Yes, because, you know, David, we are running a race. So I think that, you know, even the Apostle Paul says, you know, he said, hey, I beat my body, I train myself. And I think that's a part of the ministry. You've got to learn to train yourself. You've got to learn to develop yourself. This doesn't come overnight. And I think that's where I see pastors, you know, they want to start a church. They want it to go to 1,000 members within 2 months or 3 months or within the year. hey, whether it does or it doesn't, the most important ministry that we need to be focusing in on is our families right now. And I think that today we have gauged success and longevity, you know, by some of the wrong signs or the number of things that we see going wrong. You know, let us never forget the most important ministry we can have is our personal ministry unto the Lord and how we live for God, how we walk after God's own heart, and then unto our family, and then unto the church. So I think this is very critical today, where I see leaders that have this so backwards. That's why they never finish their race well. That's why they burn out within a year, within 5 years. You know, I always say, you know, it's not how you start the race, but it's do you finish the race? And I think this is something that we can all look back upon. I remember growing up, as I've said in the last two programs I've been on with you, David, I've been serving the Lord, you know, nearly 20 years full-time in the ministry. And I can tell you of literally not just a handful, not just a bucketful, but by the hundreds, David, I have seen, not just in the ministry, but literally by the thousands in the church just come and go. And then they start serving God, but they don't continue in God. And I think these are some real questions that we have to ask ourselves. Why are we starting strong, but we're not finishing strong? Why do we start serving the Lord, and yet we stop, you know, somewhere, whether it's 2 years or 5 years down the road? You know, so I think these are some key elements to look at. You know, I think that we've got to look out also, I think, for the diversions of the enemy. The enemy knows how to bring an offense. He knows how to discourage. You know, he knows how to cause burnout to come into place. You know, he knows how to make you bitter. You know, I think that we've got to see and begin to discern, hey, when we're under attack. You know, believe me, one thing I know, the enemy, he wants us to be tired. He wants us to have no time or no energy to pray. You know, I mean, because I think that if he can get into our physical element or even our mental element, he knows he doesn't have to do a lot so that he can stop us. So that's why I say today, the most important discipline, the most important delight you should have in your day is your time in God. You know, so, you know, one of the things that I've learned is that when a good leader begins to develop his time in the Lord and, you know, his time in prayer, his time in the Word, even his time in fasting, you know, I think these are very key, critical elements, is that, you know, when a leader is alone in prayer, it's important that they learn to have those times of solitude with just them and the Lord. That's why we see in Matthew 6, you know, when Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray, he said, go into a closet and close the door behind you. And I think it was because he wanted to be alone with the leader, with the pastor. You know, and I'll tell you something, it's in those moments of solitude, it's in those moments of quietness between you and the Lord that you become a great innovator, you become a great visionary. It's in those moments God gives you the blueprint for what the future should look like. But if we have all these distractions going on around us, so, you know, I not only encourage prayer, but I encourage solitude time, time with just you and God, a time when you're the only one up in the house and God, and it's just you and the Lord speaking to you so that you can know what his next step is for you and your ministry or your church. So these are very critical for us to begin to look at together today, David.
Amen, Pastor. Now, I seen something that I mentioned over the last two relationship shows that I've had, and it relates to what we're talking about the man of God having to tend to his family at home. I don't think in any time that I've seen in the years that I've ministered as well and preached, at any time that I've seen the man leaving the home and leaving the wife, as I've seen a lot of that this last couple of years of the man of God who's supposed to be strong and stuff just gone and out of the door. And it's amazing. What's your take on that, Pastor?
David, I think I lost you about halfway into what you were saying there.
Okay, I can repeat it again.
Say it again, David.
In the last few years, I've seen a huge abandonment thing of men of God leaving their homes and not taking care of themselves, and men in ministry, but men also just everyday going Christians just leaving. Even in the secular world, I see that a lot more, that men being married 30 years just get up and walk out. I'm just wondering what your take was on that.
You know, I think, again, you know, it goes back to, you know, it's not how we start, it's how we finish. And I tend to, relate that to several arenas in our lives. And I'm not just talking just to leaders, but, you know, we may be talking directly today to a husband who's thinking about leaving his wife, and he's been married to her for 20 years or 18 years, you know, and you just want to throw the towel in and say, I've had enough. I can't continue to do this thing. But, you know, the Bible promises in the book of James, when we humble ourselves, David, before the Lord, he will lift us up. And I think sometimes, you know, when I think about perseverance and endurance and finishing strong, humility is such a key factor with whether you're a husband, whether you're a manager, whether you're involved as a pastor in the church. You know, we've got to have those times. You know, I always say you can never truly stand in the ministry until you first learn to kneel before the Lord. And I think that's, you know, that's something that we've got to get back to, is that place of humbleness, that place of brokenness, where we know that when we go low before the Lord, it will be God that will cause us to stand up and be strong. It will be God that will cause our families to be strong. And I think it's so heartbreaking today, David, because, you know, I've seen this, David, and it just really it just burns in my heart, because I see so many people, whether it's in their family, whether it's in the church, where they just give up so easy. They just quit. They stop. They don't want to finish what's begun in them. From the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6, where it says to the Apostle Paul, he's speaking there in a very simple, practical way, and he's saying, hey, what God has started, he will bring to completion. We have a promise from God that God is able to give us the grace. He's able to give us the favor. He's more than able to cause us to finish it. But I'm not denying, you know, David, every summer I tend to start running at a local city park here in the area. It's called Memorial Park. It's about a 3 to 3.5 mile track around this huge area of our city. And I tell you, it's always amazing. I'll always get in the habit in the summer, and I'll start running there, and I start working my way up. I don't immediately run 3 to 4 miles upon my first journey onto the track. I have to work my way into this thing. I have to start training and developing and start building those muscles that will help me to begin to become that runner that God has called me to be. And that's how it is in our marriages. That's how it is in the church, you know. And that's why today I encourage not just training, but, you know, one of the things we touched on last week just a little bit, and I want to go back to talking about it today, is having a spiritual father in your life, having a pastor in your life. You know, especially, and I might be speaking to a pastor right now, that you have some overseer, a bishop, an apostle, you know, I don't know who that person is, a big brother in the ministry, a mentor, I mean, we can, you know, a more seasoned teacher over your life. And I think that when you're able to go and connect with these spiritual fathers in your life, I mean, I know for me, whenever I connect with my spiritual father, I mean, it just seems like I get a fresh download of energy, a fresh download of the anointing, a fresh download of fresh wisdom that will help me to continue to keep running the race. So I think that it's very critical that we do learn to posture ourselves correctly and realize that, you know, hey, God never called us to be out there running the race alone. You know that hey, as a runner runs the race, you know, he wants us to pass the baton. He wants us to pass the torch. But we've got to also, you know, be willing to do this thing. So, and I think these are all key points, David.
Amen. Amen, Pastor. Well, I want to thank you again for taking some time out of your busy week that you usually have with the church that you're doing. Why don't you give the listeners just your information about your church real quick?
Sure thing. David, I tell you, the best way for people to reach us is in two areas. We have services on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock and on Thursdays at 7 o'clock. We meet our location. Our address is 1314 West Patton, Houston, Texas, 77009. Or you can reach me personally on Twitter under Mike Salazar. And when you're trying to follow me, all you have to do is put on there that, hey, I found you through the Rev Media Network. And I tell you, that will allow us to connect on an even more personal level. So I mean, there's so many different ways that we can connect. And David, again, like I say this, you know, it's definitely a privilege and an honor to be able to be on the show with you today.
Amen, Pastor. When we're going to get you here in the studio?
We need to come in this coming week. We need to definitely come in, and we need to take care of some time where we can spend some time and definitely record some more shows, and let's get the Word of God out.
Amen, Pastor. Thank you so much for coming in again and on the phone with us. I appreciate you.
Okay, Dave. We love you guys. I'm looking forward to seeing you next week.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye. That was Pastor Mike Salazar here on our show. Amen. Again, I want to tell you, we're working on the audio and stuff, so if some of it was a little staticky, I apologize. We got some new call-in things that we're trying to use, and they were tested, but I guess they weren't tested good enough. Oh, well, we're going to work on that. Amen? We're going to work on getting that kind of information out, and we're going to work on trying to make sure that you hear our programs in a clarity way. Amen? And we will. We will. Pastor Mike Salazar is pastor of Freedom International Church. He goes and has a great ministry out there in the inner cities of downtown Houston. I think I shared before at one time that Pastor Mike is possibly one of the only ministers that I know of personally that has to juggle all different demographics in his church. He basically has those that come from income, those that don't have much income, those that are a little stricken, and then those that have plenty. And it's like that in every church, but you're talking about being over there where they're in an area where there's some gang activity here and there. And it's just amazing because you got a very nice society just down the street, and then you have a whole different side just down the street too. So it's crazy, and he's a blessing, and he is pretty busy. So it's always a treat to have him, and he's dedicated this month of August, to help build up the leadership day that we have. And he talks to many, many leaders all the time. So it's a blessing to have him. It's a blessing to have him as a friend and as a brother in the Lord. And it is a blessing to have him on the show. And I know that you're being blessed. So if you did hear this program and it touched you, I want you to contact him. Find him on his Twitter. Find him on that, and let him know that you're enjoying his show. We're going to play a quick infomercial about our ministry. We'll be right back.
Have you ever felt that you let God down in the way you handled your dating or marriage relationships? How about the deja vu feeling that you had the same bad experience before, but you can't help repeating what you know doesn't work? Emotions about our relationships are constantly shifting from highs to lows. If we know that we are not in the right relationship, we still try to convince ourselves of our partner otherwise. Sometimes that convincing leads us away from God, Christian friends, family, and the church. Does this describe you? And if it does, do you ever wonder if all your rationalizations and poor choices have exceeded the limits of God's patience with you so that you are almost out of grace? If so, my friends, I have written this book for you. The title of my new book is Almost Out of Grace. This book will be a blessing in your life. You can pick this book up anywhere books are sold. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, anywhere books are sold. You can also pick it up at my website, RevMinistries.com, for $12. Also, AlmostOutOfGrace.com, you can go there, and there's a link there as well to purchase the book. If you want to preview the chapters, if you want to know more about the book and why I wrote the book, visit AlmostOutOfGrace.com. You can get through there through RevMinistries.com, or you can go straight to AlmostOutOfGrace.com, and you'll be able to see why this book came into existence and how it came into existence through radio shows. God bless you. Please purchase the book anywhere books are sold, or you can write us at P.O. Box 5172. Send us a check, money order. We also take credit card. And if you want to call in at 888-241-0768, hit extension 2, and we'll be able to help you in the bookstore. God bless you. Thank you again. Almost Out of Grace will be a blessing to your relationships.
Amen. Amen. Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. God bless. We are doing leadership today. Wednesday's leadership day. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about missions and outreach. Either my pastor, David Hope, will be a guest, or my friend Tom Dake will be calling in, or Timothy Dipp. They all have done missions, and I want to get them in here. I'm going to try and get a quick email out to a couple of them and see who can come by the studio and help us with that show tomorrow. I want to thank each of y'all for tuning in here every single day at 2 o'clock, Monday through Friday, to hear Midwatch with the Rev. We've been doing these shows for about 5 years now, a little more than that, and this is a time that we changed the format a little so we can stretch it out to an hour that we can bring current events, but also bring good quality call-ins and also still do our take that we do on the subject matter. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. You can give our call to our prayer line at 888-241-0768. Anytime you need prayer, just give us a call. Leave a message if no one picks up. You don't know how busy we get and how many things we're running through. We don't have a straight volunteer that's just straight going to take care of the phone lines on the prayer line. We're praying for that. If you're interested, drop us an email. We'll get you on the prayer line. I'll talk to you, get to know you, and we'll be able to forward some for the prayer lines to you so you can pray for them as well. My email address, therev at midwatchwiththerev.com, or you can email me, David at revmedianetwork.com. That is David at revmedianetwork.com. You can also visit my websites, revministries.com, revmedianetwork.com, revmediapublishing.com, and I'm about to put davidyanezministries.com up. We only got a few more things to add to that, and we can put that and publish that. But for now, you can hit all these other spots and stuff just to see what we're doing and get an idea of how we're doing out here and what other events we're involved in, my friends. I want to tell you that a lot of these shows that we put together are put together with the intent to give you the best information from the best out there in Christian broadcasting and Christian intellect. And we pray that we get to touch some people out there. So if your pastor wants to be a guest, they can call in. They don't have to host a show. Then if they don't want to host a show, now it's there. It's there if they want to host a show, but they don't have to. They can just call in and be a guest and be a blessing to this ministry by just being on the air with us and everything. So my friends, I want to thank you again and thank Pastor Mike, our guest, for this show today, and we'll see him next time in the studio so you have a lot better sound, and we may have to use the auxiliary equipment if we have to do another phone call in because it did not work too well today on the static and stuff, and I'm not satisfied with some of the sound that came out. Good message, but the sound wasn't where it needed to be, and we'll get that to there. Amen. Well, I want to thank you again for tuning in to Midwatch with the Rev. I want to tell you that tomorrow's show and Friday's shows are going to be awesome. Let's get these numbers back up. They looked a little down the other day when I was looking at them, but I know that you're listening, and I know that you're busy, so I know that you can listen when you can, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate that. Please consider being a sponsor for our programs. You can go to giving page or any of our donation buttons and see the options that are there. God bless you. Thank you so much. And again, that is our whistle. We're done for the day, my friends. That's my Navy whistle. And God bless you. We'll talk to you next time on the Midwatch. God bless you, my friends. Thank you for tuning in to the Midwatch. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Oh,